turn to Matthew in your Bibles. Book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1038, 1038. Beginning with the 36th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 43. The 40th verse is the text verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And let's pray. And Father, we pray for your power, your blessing in the service tonight. How many times have you wrought changes within lives, within this room, Sunday after Sunday, and many, many hundreds of thousands of people have been changed. We pray that you'd help us to want to be changed. We pray that you'd help us to want the evidence of your power here. And so bless toward that end our preacher and each listener in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, Father, we come to the book. Oh, my, these years, how many times we've come to it. Look at it again, just another portion of it. We come tonight to examine a little part of this blessed, wonderful book, inexhaustible in its supply. Thank you for it. Bless our lesson and sermon tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Text tonight. We read a while ago, and I'll read it for you without your turning to it again. This is both the text and the title of my message. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Are you listening to me? I wonder if he came tonight, how he'd find you. What would he find you doing? And he cometh to the disciples. Now, this is the Garden of Gethsemane. He's been praying through the night. Listen, young people. He's been praying through the night, and he cometh to the disciples. I'm talking about the 12 apostles. I'm talking about the men he trusted the most, and he findeth them asleep. That's the title of my message tonight. He cometh to his disciples and found them sleeping. I recently reread a good part of the story of Rip Van Winkle, the fellow who slept for 20 years. Like many of you have done for the last 20 years here in church. And I recently reread a portion of that story. A very interesting thing that I had never noticed before, I noticed in that story. The part about the sign on the inn in the little town on the Hudson River where Rip Van Winkle lived. When he went up into the mountains for his 20-year-long nap, a picture on that inn. There was a picture on that inn of George III. When he woke up, there was a picture on that inn of George Washington. While he was asleep, there had been a revolution that had changed the face of the world. And Rip Van Winkle didn't know about it. He had slept through the American Revolution. How foolish. Now, you know what he missed. This is what happened here in our text. The greatest hour in history had come. For 4,000 years, Calvary had been promised. And now, Calvary is just a few hours away. This hour had been promised in Genesis 3:15. God had said the day would come when the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? And the head of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of woman. That was talking about Calvary, when Jesus would bruise the head of the serpent, stomp the head of the serpent because he paid the sin for the sins of the world. That hour is here. And the disciples are asleep. In Exodus chapter 12, the story is given about the Passover. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That means every time the Jew observed the Passover, it pointed to the time when Christ, our Passover, would go to Calvary. That hour is now here, and the disciples are asleep. In Leviticus 23:27, we find that every October, our October, on the 10th day of the month, there would be what was called the Day of Atonement. That Day of Atonement pictured the day, a great Day of Atonement, when Jesus would atone for our sins. Now, that day has come. In fact, at this moment, Jesus was in Gethsemane, surrendering his life to go to Calvary, and the disciples were asleep. In Genesis 22 and verse 8, when Abraham had taken his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah, that little three-day and three-night journey that took him up, when God had said to Abraham, sacrifice your son Isaac, thine only son Isaac, on the altar. And Abraham had agreed to do so. When Isaac and Abraham got to the altar, Isaac asked the question, said, here's the wood and here's the fire, where's the sacrifice? Isaac did not know, no doubt, that he was to be that sacrifice, but whether he did or not, that's not the issue. Abraham made this statement in Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 8. He made this statement to Isaac. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. What was it? Well, he's talking about God would provide himself as the sacrifice. He was talking about the incarnation of God. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who would become the lamb someday. Now that hour has come. It's time for the lamb to be offered. John the Baptist had cried on the banks of the Jordan in John 1:29, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Again in verse 36, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And Jesus came, was baptized of John in the Jordan, and then Jesus started his earthly ministry, but he came as a lamb. Now the time has come for him to become the lamb. And the disciples are asleep. In Isaiah 53:7, it prophesied that Jesus would be brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Now the time has come for Jesus to be brought as the lamb to the slaughter. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The time has come. This great hour, the greatest hour in the history of mankind, no hour before and no hour since, because this is the hope of man's salvation. The disciples are asleep. Every time a Jew offered a lamb, it pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God. The hour has come. Every time a Jew offered a bullock, a turtle dove, a pigeon, a goat, or a ram, it pointed to Jesus, our sacrifice. Every time a lamb bleated its last noise on the altar, or a turtle dove fluttered its wings in death, and the blood was shed, it pointed to this hour, just a few moments away, when Jesus would become our supreme sacrifice. And the disciples were asleep. He had just told them in Luke 9:44, the Son of Man shall be delivered to the hands of men. They knew what was going to happen. This was no shock to them. They had been taught and trained to know the purpose of Jesus' coming. He had just told them in John 12:24, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground, and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He was talking about his own body, They knew he was going to die. I'm saying that they knew the purpose of Jesus coming. John the Baptist had denounced it. Here comes the Lamb. He was a king, but John the Baptist did not announce him as a king. He was a Prince of Peace, but John the Baptist did not announce him as the Prince of Peace, because a long time before we needed a prince or a king, we needed a Lamb to pay the price for our sin. And now that time comes. Calvary. The disciples were asleep. He had just told them in John 2:19, destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll raise it up. And in verse 21 he said, this spake he. He spake of the temple of his body. He had just told them in John 16:5, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And the disciples are asleep. He had just told them in Luke 22:19, at the Last Supper, this is my body which is given for you. He just told them that his body was going to be given for them. And in verse 20 he said, this is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. These disciples full well knew that Jesus had come to die, and he told them that his hour was come, and they knew he was going to Calvary, and they knew Psalm 22 had told the very words he would say on Calvary. Isaiah 53 had told exactly what was going to happen. And in Daniel it had told the exact year when he would come. And in Micah 5:2 it told the little city in which he had come. And they full well knew that this was the Messiah and the Lamb of God. And now he's about to die on the cross, and they were asleep. He cometh to his disciples and found them sleeping. This is the hour. The hope of the world is about to die. The light of the world is about to darken. Innocence is about to be convicted. God incarnate is about to pay my price in full. And what were the apostles doing? He found them sleeping. Hey, this is not a part of the 5,000 people that followed him. He does not say he found the 5,000 asleep. He does not say he found the 500 who walked with him asleep, or the 120 who prayed with him asleep, or the 70 who witnessed of him asleep, but the 12 chosen by him, he found them sleeping. We're talking about the 12 best Christians in the whole world. We're talking about the 3 especially ordained of him and the 1 closest to him. Oh, I know. He didn't say he came and found them drinking. Didn't say he found them smoking. Didn't say he found them listening to rock music. Didn't say he found them watching soap operas. Didn't say he found them lying. Didn't say he found them stealing. Didn't say he found them gambling. Didn't say he found them fighting. Didn't say he found them rebelling. It said he found them sleeping. And there they were, listen to me, sleeping through the greatest hour in history. Finest people in the world. Years ago, I was praying on the Whiting Beach, and I'll not belabor you with a lengthy story. You've heard it. I was praying over here on the Whiting Beach. Got in my car to drive back. I got in the car, looked up in the rearview mirror, and there was a man about 25 feet behind me with a gun, a rifle. He lifted that rifle and pointed that rifle toward me, and I saw what he was going to do, and I swerved, and the bullet came by my car. He was trying to kill me. It wasn't long after that till I was jogging out in Munster. I used to jog every night. And my jogging is about like this. I saw an old man about my age jogging the other day. And I was jogging. Used to run about 3 miles every night. And one night, a car of people came by me and started shooting at my feet. I don't think they're trying to kill me, but they were just, the bullets were sort of, and that's where I learned how to dance. And I quit jogging too, by the way. But I'm saying, that's what happened. And then one Saturday, I got out of my car to come to a wedding out here beside the building. A house was here, and this is old stuff to you. And a fellow, I heard a man say, I'm going to kill you. He jumped. I was down about 12 inches below him. There's a step up right here. And he jumped off where I park out here down to the driveway up beneath that, and I'm going to kill you. He had a weapon in his hand, and we fought for about 10 minutes, and finally worked our way out to the street, and I was spared by some good Samaritan. Next Sunday morning, I came in. A fellow was in the waiting room, big guy, and I walked in. He said to me, he said, "Is it true that somebody tried to kill you and jumped you last week?" I said, "That's right." He said, "Was it like this?" He jumped up and attacked me and knocked me over on the little chair in there. Security guard came, and a couple of them, and pulled him off of me. Well, because of that, we started having security guards. One night I was preaching out in Colorado, came home. I was planning to come back the next day, but I came home during the night. I found the security guard sound asleep in front of the house. Now, he wasn't drinking out there. He was just asleep. He wasn't smoking. He was just asleep. He wasn't cursing. He was just asleep. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, been better off if he'd been cursing and be awake. We talk an awful lot about drinking and smoking, and we should, and about dancing and the soap operas and rock music, and we should. But let me tonight just talk about those of you that are sleeping during the revolution. Those of you that are sleeping during one of the most important hours in history, asleep. Not drinking, not cursing, not gambling, not dancing, not lying, not cheating, not stealing, not nightclubbing, but asleep. Awake, awake tonight, awake. There's something going on in this world. Wake up. Join the crowd. This is much like a security guard, a good man. I love him. Just happened to be asleep. The apostles, 12 good men. Nothing wrong with these men. They were good men, separated men, clean men, faithful men, loyal men. But they were asleep, and they should have been beside the Savior. They never will have a chance like this. And 12 men in the history of mankind have never had a chance like this. And yet, at this great hour in history, you found them sleeping. That's sort of like those of you that leave during the invitation. Something going on here. I said something going on here. You people don't care enough about the souls of men. You need to get at the BB early at the restaurant, or get down to rallies first, then see people born again and saved from the fires of hell. Let me tell you, you're sleeping while something's going on. More people saved in this altar this morning than saved in any church anywhere in the whole United States. And some of you people trotted out there, out the door. God have mercy on your soul. I know what you're saying. I don't like your preaching. I don't like your walking out either. There's something going on while you sleep. Like some of you folks who sleep in the services. I saw a visitor here the other night. Went off to sleep. Happened to be sitting with one of these Indians that jumps up and hollers every once in a while. I watched that visitor. I had more fun than a June bug on the 31st day of May. I'm trying to tell you, folks, these were good men, chosen by God. We're talking about John that leaned on his breast. We're talking about Peter, the greatest Christian in all the world. We're talking about Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. We're talking about the 12 he chose to spread the gospel. We're talking about men that after a while turned the known world upside down for God. But here was their great opportunity when Jesus was coming to Calvary. They'll never have this chance again. And Jesus said, "Couldn't you be awake for 1 hour?" He came and found them sleeping. Brother, in this age, I want Jesus to find me wide awake. Sound like you folks that come spasmodically. You need to watch the box on Wednesday night and come to hear the Word of God taught. Something's going on here, folks. Something's going on. Hey, Peter, wake up. Calvary's just a few minutes away. Wake up, John. Calvary's a few minutes away. Wake up. Sort of like you folks that just sit in the pew. Never make a visit. Never witness. Just all you do is sit. and fill up, in many cases, about 48 inches of pew. All you do, just sit. Now, I'm glad you're here. I love you. If you come and sit, I'd rather you come and sit here and do nothing than not come and sit here. But what I'd really rather do is come here and sit and go out and do something. But here you sit. One of these days, you're going to stand before God, and God's going to say, what did you do for me? You're going to say, I went to First Baptist Church of Hammond. God's going to say, what did you do for me? My church baptized more people than any church in America. God's going to say, what did you do for me? We have the biggest Sunday school in the world. God's going to say, what did you do for me? I'm telling you tonight, something's going on here, and some of you are sound asleep while something's going on. Sort of like you young people skip church. You're pretty cute. Hey, you teenagers back there in the corners, you're pretty cute. While mama's not looking, you slip out and go down to the bus to the parking garage. Hey, you're pretty cute. No, you're not cute. You're backslidden. That's what's wrong with you. Something's going on here. You may never see it again. I'm saying something's going on here. Boy, one of these days, you're going to wish you'd have sat here and listened to everything that's going on and had taken part in this thing, because God can lift His blessing from this place just like God has lowered His blessing or left His blessing on this place. And the tragedy is some of you teenagers are sleeping right through history. He came and found them sleeping. So like some of you college students, with your bored, blasé look, with your little pen and pencil out, jotting down a note to your boyfriend sitting beside you. I wouldn't give you a dime for your Christianity. Sitting down in your seat. What you ought to be doing is up on the edge of that seat tonight. And you ought to be saying, the man of God's preaching in the greatest church in America. Something's going on here that's going on nowhere else in the whole wide world. You ought to be sitting up and saying, I'm a part of history here. He found them sleeping. He found them sleeping. He said, Brother Howe, don't you get a little upset about these college students get too excited? No. No. I get upset about those that never get excited. Don't you get upset about some of these people get too holler too loud? No, it's these deacons that so to sleep bother me. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, something's going on around here. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Talking about you, casual listeners. Talking about some of you right now looking at the guy beside you that's having a spell going, I learned something years ago. When I used to play football a little bit, I learned the best thing to do was not watch the game. When there's a pile up, jump in it. Boy, you hang around and watch that pile up and somebody's going to hit you from the rear and you're going to be in eternity. I learned the best thing to do is just jump right in the middle of that thing, and bless God, I will be right in the middle of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. Come on in, the water's fine. Let me tell you what you missed while you were sleeping. Let me tell you, little restaurant trotters, you little Teebles twisters, McDonald's marauders, Rally's ramblers, Burger King boys, let me tell you what's happening after you've walked out the services. Let me tell you what's happening after you don't care enough about the souls of men. You'd rather have your stomach filled than to have your soul filled. You'd rather have get to the line and say get the first of the line than to see what God is doing. Let me tell you what's been happening while you've been marching out. 4,995 people walked down these aisles one Sunday after you left. Boy, you say these disciples. Looks like to me they'd have been awake. Looks like to me you'd have stayed too. Looks like to me you'd get interested. At deacon's meeting one night, one of our deacons stood up, older man, godly man. And he said, I was a member of Moody Church in the days of H. A. Ironside. He said, I did not know what we had. I didn't realize how well-known Dr. Ironside was. And that's to his tribute, Dr. Ironside, too. But I didn't know what we had. But he said, God's given me a chance now to belong to my second great church, and I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss it. Here's Calvary. Streams of history pour into Calvary. The rivers of prophecy empty from Calvary. Here's the greatest moment in all the world when the Son of God becomes sin. And all the sins of the universe are heaped upon Him. And He dips His own soul into hell. And the hope for heaven is there on that cross. If He comes down to the cross, we have no hope. What were the disciples doing? Same thing some of you folks doing right now. Sleeping. Let me tell you what's been happening. Another Sunday, over 3,300 folks walked down the aisle. Oh, you say, if I could just been at Pentecost, I was. Well, if I could just been there in the church at Jerusalem. No, you'd have gone out to Goldstein's cafeteria. Or Avis Buffet. No, you wouldn't have enjoyed. I'm telling you, folks, the same thing that happened at Pentecost happened three times right here in First Baptist Church of Hammond. One Sunday, 4,995. One Sunday, over 3,300. One Sunday, 5,195 people walked down these aisles receiving Christ as Savior. Hey, wake up! There's something going on around here. You've been eating the tables. I'm not against tables. I like tables. After 2 o'clock. The largest church in the history of America has been growing up here. While you've been sleeping, not having a part, more people saved for a period of a third of a century than any church has ever had saved in history over a third of a century. The only time in the history of the church that 40,000 people have been in Sunday school on one corner at one time. Largest Wednesday night service ever attended one church on Wednesday night. I'm talking about average. The largest Sunday night crowd in history, week after week, for a quarter of a century, and for over 21 years, this big auditorium has been packed out Sunday night after Sunday night. Go over to Maui. Go to church over there. See 18 people there on Wednesday night, and you can't find a church open on a Sunday night. Boy, wouldn't they like to be in one place like this one time? People all over America have a dream of spending one service in this auditorium. And you sleep. You yawn. You're bored. You walk out during the invitation. You never win a soul to Christ. You just sit there and not a part. I want to be a part. While you've been sleeping, the largest fundamental independent Baptist college in the world has been built. To some like you in Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, then now it is high time to awake out of thy sleep. In Luke 24:26, Jesus asked the question, 24:46, why sleep ye? In verse 47, he said, get this, while he spake, behold a multitude, and he was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And the disciples, wake up! Too late, fellas. It's too late. You slept through history. He's been delivered now to the hands of soldiers, and the kiss, the dastard kiss of betrayal has been placed upon the brow of the Son of God by the betrayer. Judas is carried, and he's already going to trial, and you've been sleeping while he was in Gethsemane praying. You missed your chance! Hey, ladies and gentlemen, don't miss your chance! Teenagers, I'm as sure of this as I'm standing here. Someday, before you teenagers are gone, this building will be about a tenth full on a Sunday night. And you're going to say, I didn't know what I had. Because you're asleep while it's going on. Some of you college students, I get letters from college graduates. Dear Brother Hiles, tell the students to wake up. Tell the students to be apart. I sat there for 4, 5, 6 years and didn't know till I left there and got out in the world what was going on in the world. I sat there, but I missed it. Hey, don't miss it. Paul said to the Ephesians in 5:14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. They called it sleep. He said dead. He said, I sleep through the service. God says, you're dead. Wake thou that sleepeth and rise from the dead. He said through Isaiah in 56:10, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, and loving slumber. They thought they were just taking a nap. God says they're dumb dogs. Some of you folks ought to bark tonight. Yeah, there's the backsliders doing it now. God says they're dumb dogs. God says they're ignorant. Why? They're asleep. Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. Sound like folks are sleeping or drunk in God's sight. You thought you were asleep. You drunk. You thought you were asleep. You're dead. You thought you were asleep. You're a dumb dog. I didn't say that. I'm just telling you what God said about you. So happens I agree with him. Psalmist said in 13:3, lighten mine eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. Jesus said when in Mark 13:35-36, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. If Jesus came tonight, as he came to the apostles, how would he find you? Would he find your soul winning? Would he find you building a Sunday school class? Would he find you building a bus route? Or would he find you sitting there in the service? Would he find you college students filling out a false report about your soul winning and lying about it? I'm saying, Jesus came and found them asleep, found them sleeping. But they did awaken. Look a while later. Now, I want you to hear this. Look a while later. He was buried. He rose from the dead. These same men turned the world upside down for God. What was the difference? The living Christ. Thomas no longer doubted. Peter no longer denies. Disciples no longer forsake. The apostles no longer sleep. You know what your trouble is? Your Jesus is dead. That's why you sleep. Your Jesus is dead. These same men that slept, and our Lord came and found them sleeping, when they realized that Christ had risen from the dead, they turned the world upside down for God. Rip Van Winkle slept during a revolution. These men, Peter, stands on Pentecost in the back end of a pickup truck, does some street preaching with Hiles Anderson College students. He had no church. He had no platform. He had no pulpit. But an improvised one. And 3,000 people got saved. That's the same guy's cussing 50 days ago. That same guy's denying the Lord 50 days ago. These men turned the world upside down. But wait a minute. They never could relive that night in Gethsemane. They had their chance. I'm 68 years old. Be 69 in a few days. I'm not going to miss it. I've been awake for years. I know what's going on. I preached Thursday night in California. Preached tomorrow night, God willing, in Colorado. Preached a week ago in North Carolina. I know what's going on. Brother, I don't get up here and just slide through. I most everywhere I go, it's about a 3-microphone sermon. I'm awake. These little preachers, every time a missionary comes through, they can't wait to say, would you preach for me tonight? You won't preach for me, you'll listen, you come here. Because I want the gravy. You're not going to preach when I'm here. Now, if I'm gone, I'll let some of these scrubs like Moffitt preach. Just one time, he's just got one sermon. But I want you to know something, brother. For 69 years, I've been wide awake. I've come through life watching. I know what's going on. I want to be a part. And I've been a part. I jump in the pile when the game's going on. I have a friend, a good football player. We were playing football one day, and he decided that he wasn't going to jump in there. And a guy came behind him and clipped him in the rear and broke both of his legs. He's just standing there. Boy, I'd like to break some of your legs. I'm just kidding, of course. But here is the greatest moment ever. And the greatest Christians in the world. You're good people, but you're asleep. You're good college students, but some of you are asleep. Fall program's coming up. Wake up and be a part. Get your bus route and be a part. Get your Sunday school class and build it and be a part. Bring folks down the aisle and be a part. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords Supreme. Through all eternity. The great I Am. The way, the truth, the life. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, let's wake up and get the job done for God. We have this great Chicago area here. Let's go sweep through history. Came and found them sleeping. When the history of this generation is written, he'll probably say that Hiles was a bigot, but he won't say he slept. They may say Hiles was over-enthusiastic, but they won't say he was under-enthusiastic. They won't say he slept. They may say Hiles was too narrow-minded, but they won't say he slept. Savior said, couldn't you have stayed awake for 1 hour? Just 1 hour? Neath the stars of the night, walk the Savior of light in the garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. The Son of God, the seed promised in Genesis, the Passover lamb promised in Exodus, the scapegoat promised in Leviticus, the great star promised in Numbers, the great lawgiver promised in Deuteronomy, the great prophet, priest, and king promised in Joshua, the judge of all the universe promised in Judges, the kinsman redeemer promised in Ruth, the Savior promised in Samuel. The King of Kings promised in Kings. The historian promised in Chronicles. The rebuilder of the temple promised in Ezra. The rebuilder of the wall promised in Nehemiah. The Savior of the Jews promised in Esther. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother promised in Job. The song of the ages promised in Psalms. The great truth promised in Proverbs. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, promised in Isaiah. The Weeping Prophet, promised in Jeremiah. The Street Preacher, promised in Lamentations. Rebuilder of the Millennial Temple, promised in Ezekiel. spurned but forgiving lover promised in Hosea, the stone cut out without hands promised in Daniel, and the one coming in Bethlehem of Judah promised in the minor prophets, the King of Kings in Matthew, the suffering servant of Mark, the Son of Man in Luke, the Son of God in John, power of the church in Acts, dynamite of the gospel in Romans, restore the carnal nature of Corinthians, rent veil in Galatians, heavenly one in Ephesians, our sufficiency in Philippians, the great shadow in Colossians, coming Savior in Thessalonians, the great appearing God in Timothy, our blessed hope in Titus, best of all in Hebrews, the fulfiller of the law in James, rock of ages in the epistles of Peter, assurance of our salvation in the gospel of, in the epistles of John, the one who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his Lord, the exceeding joy of Jude, and the King of Kings coming again in Revelation. And there he kneels in the hour he needs somebody the most. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Perspiration like drops of blood flowed from his brow. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I've got the victory. I'm going to Calvary. I'll bear in my body the sins of mankind. I'll go back and tell the disciples. And he found them sleeping. How would he find you if you came tonight? He came tonight. Would he find you working, witnessing, doing his business? Or would he find you sleeping? Our Heavenly Father, bless the simple message preached by an all too simple preacher. Help us to wake up. Help us to get busy for God. In these days of our fall program, help us to rise, be a part of the great program of God here on this corner. Please. Amen. Shall we stand there?